This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Welcome back into the Danny Mac Podcast. I'm Dan McNeil. Thanks for joining me on the Bet Rivers Podcast. Those of you who are subscribing on YouTube, thanks a bunch. You're going to get a little eye candy very, very soon. What would you say if I told you you're going to get a look at Brian Urlacher's artificial hair? Actually, it's not artificial hair. It's regrown hair. I don't know if they take it from the back of your backside, like, you know, Michael Douglas had it done in the movie Last Vegas. For all of you aging guys who saw that, you might know the reference. Old Hazelnut getting the ass hair transplanted to his head. But Brian Urlacher is going to be with us in the next few days here on the Mac Podcast. And so many things I'm looking forward to talking to Urlacher about. It's been 7 or 8 years since I've interviewed Brian, and he knows all about what it means being a number one pick and what the expectations can be in Chicago. So I'll talk, not a first pick overall, but a first rounder. Now, in the case of Caleb Williams, you're coming to do something that's never been done, or at least not been done since the 40s, and that is be a great quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Urlacher, much different type of pressure. He was expected to come in and star at a position at which the franchise had a rich history. In fact, did you know a guy named Rich History in school? I did. Sat next to him in U.S. history. Urlacher was reminded right out of the gate. Bill George invented the position of middle linebacker, and look what Dick Butkus did and Mike Singletary. So he had a lot to live up to, so he knows all about coming into the fishbowl that is Chicago, which is going to take Caleb Williams, I suspect, with the first pick in the draft. We've talked enough about that. We've talked enough about whether you can bring in a stud first-year quarterback and have a veteran who's popular in the locker room like Justin Fields was. We've talked about that a lot, and it doesn't matter anymore at this point. So I'm ready to move past it, I think, after today's show. I will have a few things to say about that before I wrap up, and what the Bears were missing and why that couldn't work here, why you couldn't have Williams in the building at the same time as Fields. That might have worked in some cities. It wouldn't have worked here, and I'll tell you why in just a little bit. But I want to give some thoughts today on the new and improved Chicago Bears. And I do agree with that assessment. They're a better football team today than they were when they wrapped up the season with a bad wedding against the Packers 17-9 at Lambeau Field in week 18. Jordan Love, absolutely spectacular in that game. 27 of 32 for 300 plus. Touchdown passes to Dontavian Wicks. And I think the rookie, Jaden Reed, also had one as well. He's making good receivers out of those young no-names on the Green Bay roster very quietly. I don't know if anybody's talking about that. But here we are today with the Bears much improved offensively. And the two biggest reasons are the acquisitions of wide receiver Keenan Allen and running back DeAndre Swift. They're better with those guys on the roster than they were without them. But here's the rub. Keenan Allen is going to be 32. He turns 32 the weekend of the draft, and he's often injured. He's missed 7 games in the last 2 years. He's coming in off a terrific season. He caught 108 balls this past year, 1,240-some receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. But he missed 4 games. He missed 7 games the year prior. Very early in his career, I think it was year 4, he missed an entire season. And that was after playing only a half a season the year before. He has a penchant, not saying he's soft, but he has a penchant for finding his ass in the trainer's room more often than not. That doesn't get better with age. I think there's a real problem in Chicago with fans who just know a name. You've heard Keenan Allen's name. You've seen him on highlight reels because in his career, he has caught touchdown passes. He's had good quarterbacks to get him the football. Justin Herbert more recently. And Philip Rivers did some pretty good things there too. So yeah, you're going to know his name. The cat's been in the league a dozen freaking years. That doesn't mean he's the same player he was. He doesn't have to be the ace. I get that. You've already got DJ Moore. 1,364 receiving yards last year. The third most productive year in a Bears receiver in franchise history. And I expect him in the middle of the 2025 season to be the Bears' all-time leading receiver. It's not that daunting of a task to leapfrog the great Johnny Morris, which is the lowest total for a career receiving record in the NFL. The Bears have the single season lowest passing total. Eric Kramer, 38-38. Johnny Morris, 5,069 career receiving yards. That also is a low in the NFL among 32 teams, including teams that have come into the league like the Texans in the 21st century. Good God, get us off this picture, please. Please, come on, DJ Moore, break that record. Allen is an upgrade at the number two, but I am reluctant to do cartwheels over this trade. It's only a fourth rounder. It's a message from Ryan Poles. We're trying to win it all now. When you get those veteran players and other veteran players they've acquired, they are not setting this up for next year or 2026. They're trying to win now. Are they ready for that? Maybe if it all comes together the way they feel it's going to, and their first pick is at least on par, at least close to what he is expected to be. And I'm going to get into the dangers of that in just a second, because why the Bears only got a sixth round pick, possibly a fourth for Fields, is a source of frustration right now in Bear Nation. And I understand it, but that's the sign of the times. Look around at the rest of the 2021 draft class and see all but one guy, or actually two guys, have switched uniforms already, and one's on the way, and that's Zach Wilson, the consensus number two in the 2021 draft. But I don't know if they are so dynamic you can say, yeah, I expect them to maybe not win the division, because it's very, very good with Green Bay and Detroit still very potent, and in the case of the Lions, extremely young. The DeAndre Swift signing is not impressive to me. He was unable to crack the lineup in Detroit in all three seasons. Now, he had a good year last year with Philadelphia, but keep in mind, Philadelphia was the worst team in the NFL, or at least among them, the last 6 weeks of the season. They shit the bed so terribly as they exited. What did they lose? Five of their last six games and didn't have a chance in their playoff game. They were an impotent team offensively, and DeAndre Swift wasn't as potent as his numbers would lead you to believe. He had career highs in attempts. He had a career high in rushing yards. He had more than 1,200 rushing yards, and his average was 4.6 per carry. I don't find DeAndre Swift to be particularly tough. And he's a better receiver than David Montgomery was, but they're spending more on Swift than they would have on Montgomery. And I hate to be one of those guys, who's always digging into decisions already made. I kind of understood why the Bears took a pass on Montgomery, but when I saw the deal he signed with Detroit, 18 mildo over 3 years, I'm thinking that's not that exorbitant, and they're paying more for DeAndre Swift. And by the way, Montgomery had the exact same number of touches with the Lions last year as he did with the Bears in 2022. And he shared the load with Jahmyr Gibbs. That's a credit on the Lions' part to take a rookie, number first round draft pick, I think 12th overall, Gibbs out of Alabama, one of two Lions first rounders last year, Jack Campbell, the linebacker from Iowa, the other one. But you get a guy on a rookie contract and you pay a veteran who's just tough. And that's what they did. They got Montgomery. They were very, very good as a result of it. And I'm happy for Monty. Hardworking dude. One of the toughest little nasty MFers who ever played for the Bears. And when I say little, I'm saying not one of the bigger guys. Obviously a running back, a safety. More on that in a podcast down the road once we're a few weeks past the draft and things slow down a little bit. I can preview my book, which will be released hopefully by the time the ball goes in the air in September. But the thing about Swift is he didn't demonstrate toughness. He never really earned the affection of the Lions coaching staff. It was evidenced in Hard Knocks. If you watched Dan Campbell on Hard Knocks two seasons ago, their running backs coach was all over Swift in for not running hard. And that was the puffy Deuce Staley, who looks like he ate Barry Sanders 2 years ago in training camp. A big dude who wasn't happy with how Swift was putting his head down or not putting his head down and going for tough yards. As a first-year player, he was incapable of beating out a 35-year-old Adrian Peterson in Detroit. He didn't get the starter's job in year two or year three in Detroit because Jamal Williams was better. Three of Swift's first four NFL seasons have been uneventful. But because the name is known, there is an assumption he was part maybe of the Eagles' run to the Super Bowl. No, that didn't happen. He wasn't part of that. He didn't go play often as a Lion. He didn't really play that much as a Lion. DeAndre Swift will give Khalil Herbert and the now second-year man, Roschon Johnson, a kick in the ass, and they need it because I don't think either of them achieved what was expected of them last year, not just by me, by the coaches. We were told that Roschon Johnson was going to be the sleeper in last year's draft. We didn't see that. We didn't see it. And he had the chance when Herbert got hurt because Fields spun him around on a little circle route and blew out the ankle of his running back early in the season. So while I think the acquisitions in summation here of those two moves, the acquisitions of Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift make the Bears better, but by how much? I'm not convinced it's a radical upgrade. I think you've got to temper your expectations for both, especially the soon-to-be 32-year-old Allen. If he starts more than 12 games, I will be surprised. I still think there is pressure, enormous pressure on Tyler Scott, now in his second year, to pick it up. Bust a damn grape. You're expected to do that. We had enough faith in you to show Darnell Mooney the door, and boy, the money Mooney got. Mooney's money. Mooney's money. Yeah. He's making more money. Almost the same deal Saquon frickin' Barkley got from the Eagles. What are you doing? What are you doing, NFL? Why are you rewarding these middle-of-the-road receivers and running backs have to travel around like gypsies on one-year deals and short-term deals, and very few of these guys survive the tortures of the damned in this NFL. The way it goes, I guess. You know, that's life in the NFL, as Justin Timberlake said in The Social Network. It wasn't really the NFL. It was the world of Facebook. Here's the best deal the Bears made. Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard is going to do what Eddie Jackson didn't do, and that is he's going to tackle people. I'm bothered by the age. He's going to be 30. Byard, I think he's going to be 30, and I have to go to the glasses for the bio on the laptop next to me. Kevin Byard, who I thought was a very good player early in his career with the Titans. In fact, his eight interceptions in year two there in 2017 led the NFL. Now, there was a good Eddie Jackson year, too, and I'll get to that in a second, the one Eddie Jackson year. But Byard is not an interception machine, but he has more in his career than does Eddie Jackson, and by a wide margin. 28 career interceptions, for Kevin Byard, Eddie Jackson, 13 career interceptions. And Byard is, in fact, 30 years old. He'll be 31 in the middle of August. So I go to the Eddie Jackson file, and I'm reminded of his big contract game. There are some games in NFL history. This would be a good top 10 for NFL Network to do. The one-game career busters, the one game where a guy just cashed a huge check because of what he did on one game. And you can go to Scott Mitchell, who took a big deal from Detroit after a couple of games, filling in for Dan Marino in Miami. Younger listeners and viewers will think of Scott Flynn of the Packers, who got a big deal from Seattle. Eddie Jackson, in John Fox's last year, I'm sorry, this is the second year. This is this is John Fox's final year of 2017. That was the year Foxy won a challenge in a game against the Packers, and they lost possession of the football. That dopey-ass rule on no possession if the ball goes out of the end zone. Eddie Jackson's rookie of the year early in the season. Mitch Trubisky's not finding his way. So what does Fox do? He takes the ball out of Trubisky's hands. The Bears beat Carolina in a sleepy game at Soldier Field. Eddie Jackson had a 76-yard fumble return for a touchdown and a 75-yard interception return for a touchdown. That was historical. That made him the defensive player of the week, and it ensured him an enormous contract. And that he got, and they moved him to the strong safety position a few years ago and played him in the box, and that was a critical mistake because Eddie Jackson doesn't like to tackle people. Kevin Byard does. That's a significant upgrade. Byard, 31, bothersome, but, you know, he's only a year older than Jackson. Jackson came into the league in 17, just 1 year after Byard, but Eddie Jackson, so long. It's not the most money ever stolen by a Bears player in franchise history because there were guys who couldn't get on the field, like Adam Archuleta of the Rams, Orlando Pace, also a Rams free agent. Lovey showing his Rams allegiances years ago and getting in the head of Jerry Angelo and getting all these ex-St. Louis players on board. Or Tampa players. He had a penchant for that, too, as everybody does, because the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. So long, Eddie Jackson. Lack of physical play always bothered me. I know it's sort of the sign of the times at the safety position. Corners don't like to tackle anymore either, but I think the Bears are much better there. Gerald Everett, the tight end. It's an okay trade. It gives him a little bit of depth. He's a big target. He's not an exceptional player. Cole Kmet, clearly their number one. It gives him another tight end. It's not a huge deal. The offensive linemen they picked up, they're not a huge deal either. I'm not knocked out by them, but I think they're upgrades at those positions. I've only got a few minutes left, so I want to address why you couldn't keep Fields around and draft Caleb Williams. And I was hoping they would do that. If you've heard this show in recent weeks, you know I've had the idea of making Fields the ultimate gadget player. That wouldn't agree with him. It may not agree with some of his teammates, but guess what? Sometimes in the world, there are leaders who are strong enough to communicate a message to the rank and file. We're here to win football games. We're here not just to make money. We're here to build the championship, and we'd like to have as many great football players in our locker room as possible. We believe Fields is a valuable asset, and we didn't have any luck. You don't have to say this, but the Bears didn't have any luck in getting what they thought they would get for Fields. The NFL told the Bears he's not a starter. And the Atlanta Falcons signed a guy in Kirk Cousins who's coming off an Achilles injury. Justin Fields couldn't go home. They didn't want him initially to be the starter in Pittsburgh. That's why the Steelers got Russell Wilson on a one-year deal with Denver paying 95% of his big deal. There was nowhere to go. So you were kind of forced to take what you could get, a sixth rounder. It's a terrible price to pay for a guy you moved up for in 2021. You forfeited your 22 first-round selection by doing that. Fields winds up being a very costly mistake for the Bears. Guess what? Quarterbacks can do that. It doesn't make the Bears unique. Look at the rest of that draft. The second pick was Wilson of the Jets. He'll be looking for a home if they can move him. The Jets will probably get less for Wilson than the Bears got for Fields. Maybe that's why he's going to go to camp as Aaron Rodgers is expected backup. You had the number two pick or the number three pick, Trey Lance. He's bounced around. He's not found his way in the NFL. That was a terrible pick at three. And then Fields at 11. The Bears traded up the 20 to move to the 11 and lost that first round pick in 2022. That winds up now, but the guy started for 3 years and 1 year was very electric as a running back wearing number one. And the 15th pick, Mac Jones, he's no longer a Patriot. It's, you don't win many of these. That's what gives you trepidation about this upcoming draft. When the consensus is there are five guys, four guys for sure, maybe even five or six guys with Bo Nix and Michael Penix into the mix. It's Caleb Williams, it's Drake May, it's Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, and the other two cats I just mentioned. There's a good chance half of them will suck. There's a good chance only one of them will be any damn good. Is it going to be Williams? Most people think so, which is why I think you got to take him and feel good about it and not worry about what happens. If you lost, at least you took a swing and you weren't alone. It wasn't like last year. Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud were kind of neck and neck. Which one's won? So Carolina guessed wrong. A lot of teams might have guessed wrong in that opportunity last year. The Texans cashed in. Not only did they get Stroud, they got Will Anderson right after. That's a nice little haul, isn't it? Let's get the offensive and defensive rookies of the year. And they're working on inexpensive contracts for several more years. Good luck to the Texans. That's the model right now the Bears are looking for. They are hoping their first-round pick, their number one overall, will be to them what Stroud was to the Texans. The chance of it happening, not great, but you got to do it. You got to fix the leaky roof. You can't keep letting this, you know, maybe he's the guy, maybe he's not, linger in the next year. I would have loved to have seen the Bears not offer a competition at the position, but keep Fields on the roster. If all I'm getting is a sixth-round pick for this guy, and he's only costing me $2.7 million, why in the world would I not keep him until September? I'll tell you why. The common wisdom is, from those way more sourced than I am and in touch with today's athlete, you can't have them both in the same building. You can't do that to Caleb Williams, and it's not fair to Justin Fields. And Ryan Poles promised at the Combine he was going to be fair to Justin Fields. Remember, we got to do right by Justin. Dumb thing to say. Sometimes being totally transparent can bite you in the ass. And yesterday, the debate on Sports Yap was, did they do right by Justin Fields? When is that a new Bears tradition? When did this start? Let's do right by our players? Oh, come on. Did they do right by Brian Urlacher at the end of his career? Or Dick Butkus at the end of his career? We freaking sued the Bears, if you don't remember. There's a rich history. We're back to rich history. Of the Bears and their greatest players in franchise history not parting amicably. So why in the world do you have to be so protective of Justin Fields? Because you don't want to piss off the guys in the locker room? Guess what? When camp opens up, they'll be operating under the tutelage of the guy they pick in the first with the first pick in the draft. They don't have to worry about that. And if you don't play, your ass won't play. That's how it works. You have to bust it. You can love the guy who was there all you want. When the organization shifts gears and moves in another direction, you best move with it. It would have taken what the Bears don't have to make that work, and that's a strong-willed coaching staff capable of making those tough decisions. Russell Wilson has been stated as he's been called the number one. Mike Tomlin said he's the number one. So Fields goes into his Steelers career knowing he's not a starter. And if you wanted to, you could have done that with the Bears. You could have said, you know, you don't have to say it until after the draft, but Caleb Williams will be our starter on opening day. you communicate to both of them. You get them in a room and you say, look, we want good football players in here. You're both good football players. We want you to help each other. We want you to work with each other on what the other might be weaker at than you are. You know, you're going to work together. And guess what? Here's the perk. You're going to be on the field at the same time together. We're not going to talk about it. Maybe we won't show it in training camp that is open to media and or fans. But we're going to play Justin in the slot, and we're going to throw him bubble screens. We're going to play Justin in Wildcat and let him take snaps in third and six and exhibit some of that magic. We're going to get you help, Caleb. And this guy is a playmaker. And then you get him in a room with the other 51 guys and you explain how things are going to be. Sometimes good leadership makes for good soldiers. The Bears don't have that. I can't imagine to save – I don't know Shane Waldron, the new OC, but Matt Eberflus does not have the balls or the leadership skills to pull something like that off. And the Bears let him get away for a sixth round pick without even giving it ample consideration. What they let get away, they did let another offensive threat get away in exchange for a sixth, maybe a fourth round pick next year. Not even this year. Thank you for listening to the Danny Mac Podcast. I am Dan McNeil, and I'm excited about my conversation very soon with Brian Urlacher. Sam Michael, the very proud Highland Trojan, is my executive producer. Adam Delavitt, go Bradley Braves, is the baby Capone at Bet Rivers. I almost couldn't pull his college. Been so long since we've talked. Randy Merkin handles all the guests for us. Alex Pastor on social media. Troy Mocker, the Washington Commanders fan. And Capitals fan. Go get drunk with Alex Ovechkin sometime and then tell me about how you enjoyed your night out because you're not sleeping very much these days, proud papa. Thanks for listening to the show. I'm Mac. Take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.